You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams, live from the Right Side studios, local, state, and national, all the issues, man, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, glad you're here. It is Monday. It is Monday, July 25th. The show is live, and we are running from right here at Right Side Studios. Well, listen, like I always do, though, let me just dive right into my opening comments, my monologue, if you will, the Right Side way, we call it. So let me say this. I like adages. Adages? What's he talking about? Adages. You know, maybe I'm simple, but I like it when there's a short, easily remembered truth that's spoken like a quip or a phrase and it sticks with you, right? So an adage is officially known as, here's the quote, you ready? A brief piece of wisdom in the form of a short, philosophical, and memorable saying. Okay. A lot of times an adage is a one-liner. It might even be humorous. It might serve as a warning. It usually transcends time. It comes from experience. Sometimes they work best like in a family, like when Forrest Gump's mama told him, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. That was her adage. It was a family saying. Sometimes, though, they can be multi-generational and span all across demographics, like the old adage, no pain, no gain, or you can't never did and won't never will. Those are adages. My favorites, though, are the ones that come from a kind of a sardonic sense of humor. Like the ones often called Murphy's Laws of Combat. You see, there's an old classic treatise called On War by Prussian strategist Karl von Clausewitz, in which he outlines the principles of warfare, which define the means to keep things going in the right direction in combat. Well, some Joe Snuffy the ragbag somewhere decided the real principles were better labeled as Murphy's Laws of Combat for all the things that can go wrong. And there's different versions, but here's one list that I like. You ready? Let's try a few. Here's the first one. If it's stupid but works, it's not stupid. That's good. Boomer's already laughing. Number two, don't look conspicuous. It draws fire. Number three, never forget your weapons are made by the lowest bidder. Oh, see, now we're getting down to that sardonic sense of humor. Number four, no plan survives first contact. That's true. Here's the next one. Try to look unimportant because snipers shoot at those that look important. Yeah, there you go. How about this one? The important things are always simple. The simple things are always hard. And the easy way is always mined. Makes you think. Or how about this? If you're short of everything except the enemy, you are in combat. Or another one. Incoming fire always has the right of way. Or if the enemy is in range, so are you. Or how about this? Tracers work both ways. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. The last one is this. Professional soldiers are predictable. Unfortunately, the world is full of amateurs. Yes. Yes, it is. Adages, man. Sometimes, and by the way, some of those might be funnier if you've been shot at, but there's some simple truth wrapped up in those statements, and it sounds to me like they were written from experience. But here's two more, and these two are designed to lead to my point for today. The first was allegedly first said by Benjamin Franklin and even used publicly by Winston Churchill. It's the old adage that a failure to plan is a plan to fail. And the other one, though, is from an unknown source, although I've heard it many times, that, quote, when making a plan, remember the enemy gets a vote. So one of those means clearly if we don't think things through and arrive on the scene with a well-thought-out plan with contingencies and logistics and timelines, that we're dooming ourselves to an increased likelihood of failure. But the other one means that as surely as we're making our plans, the enemy is making their plans as well. In other words, when the bullets start flying, the enemy has a say in the final outcome, and we'd better remember that. Okay, so what's my point here? Well, Charlene and I were talking just this morning, and she brought up the midterm elections that are coming up, how critical they are, how important it is that we put a stop to the recklessness of the so-called progressive agenda. But then she put out this question. She asked, but what's the plan? It's a great question, but one that does not appear to have a cohesive answer at this point. If the Liberal Democrats lose control of the House and maybe even the Senate, what will the Republicans actually do? What is the plan? I mean, surely there's a plan, right? One would hope so. I remember former Speaker Newt Gingrich, who led the charge into a midterm in 1994 with the Contract with America. The Contract with America was an actual plan of all the things that they were committed to achieve if the people gave the Republicans the majority. It was part of the plan that swept Republicans and conservatism into an opportunity for real change. One historical version said it like this, quote, "The Contract with America was introduced 6 weeks before the 1994 congressional election, the first midterm election of President Bill Clinton's administration. It was signed by all but two of the Republican members of the House and all of the party's non-incumbent Republican congressional candidates. That means everybody was pretty much on board." The proponents of it say the contract was revolutionary in its commitment to offering specific legislation for a vote, describing in detail the precise plans of congressional representatives, and broadly nationalizing the congressional election. That means it took it out of just being local. It made it feel like there was a team that was marching in, y'all. It was a plan. Furthermore, its provisions represented the view of many conservative Republicans on the issues of things like shrinking the size of government, lowering taxes, entrepreneurial activity and free market and tort reform and welfare reform. So yeah, the 1994 elections with the Contract for America, the plan, it resulted in Republicans gaining 54 House and 9 U.S. Senate seats, flipping both chambers. They had a plan and people rallied around it. The contract was seen as a triumph by party leaders, with Minority Whip Newt Gingrich and Dick Armey and the American conservative movement in general. You see, it was a plan, y'all. Like I said, people will rally around a plan if they know what it is. We saw the same thing in 2010 when many of us ran for the first time on an agenda here in Alabama. We called it the handshake with Alabama. It was our agenda. It was our plan. We all ran on it. We said if we got in there and got the majority, and we did, we got the supermajority, we would put these things into action. We took the Alabama State House majority into the red zone for the first time in 136 years by campaigning statewide on a plan. You see, plans matter. Plans unify. Plans breed success because they give focus and they maintain direction. And a lack of a plan is indeed a plan to fail. But the enemy gets a vote? Yes. When the shots ring out, they start flying in both directions. Don't think for a minute the Democrats are going to sit idly by and just let Republicans have their way. How do we nullify progressive influence? How do we galvanize grassroots support for when those times get dicey politically? How is it we can keep the caucus focused when there's different versions of Republicans, all of whom are going to become the target of the left when it casts its own vote on the plan? But is there even a plan? Are you hearing about one? I hear little tangential pieces once in a while about how we're going to do this committee, or we're going to reverse the January 6th commission, or we're going to deal with stuff like, you know, investigations on Hunter Biden, whatever. Those are not enough. How about the agenda for legislative action? How about matters related to fiscal conservatism? How about downsizing government? How about backtracking on regulation? How about putting us back into energy independence? How about a plan? You see, the midterms are right around the corner, y'all. Listen to me when I say it. Get this, a mere 100 days away. So what's the plan, Republicans? Is there a plan? Give us something to rally around, because the enemy gets a vote too, so it better be a good plan. But the old adage remains that a failure to plan is a plan to fail. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there it is. Yeah, man, I'm telling you, in 2010, when we ran a bunch of Republicans for seats they said couldn't be taken, with Democrats had controlled the State House for 136 years, we ran as an organized bunch of folks. It wasn't a bunch of disparate campaigns. There was a plan. There was this thing called the handshake with Alabama. It meant something. Like the contract with America, it meant something. I'm just telling you, folks, we need a plan. Midterms are coming. Let's rally up behind it and get her done. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We got a whole lot more. We'll be right back.